I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, about the gifts of the Spirit, about charismatic Christians and everything else. How many people here consider themselves charismatic Christians? Thank you. That's the best answer I've ever heard. Define charismatic Christians. Okay, the word charismatic has really gotten a bad rap lately because there's a lot of people that use that to a great deal of excess. And I want to go back to the derivation of the word. The word charism is the Greek word for gift. And it simply means a gift, those who have the gift. And what is the gift? It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. God says that when we ask, He will pour out His Spirit on us, and we will be able to do things that we never dreamed of before. And so, when I refer to the term charismatic Christian, I'm referring to the term someone who has received the Holy Spirit and is therefore empowered to do things that they never could before. And by that definition, I am a charismatic Christian, and I hope all of you will become if you are not. And I want to take you to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It's a very interesting letter because it's one of the great sources for what are spiritual gifts. And there's three chapters that talk about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14. And I'm going to read to you from chapter 12. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write to you about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, for I must correct your misunderstandings about them. You see, these people had misunderstandings about what the Holy Spirit and what the gifts of the Spirit were. When you heard Nikki speaking a while ago, you heard him talking about that the Corinthian church was into all these excesses that really should not have been going on in church. So he's writing this letter to the church in Corinth to try to correct that. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know how to discern what is truly from God. I'll read that again. I want you to know how to discern what is truly from God. No one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus. And no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and can say out loud with our mouths, Jesus is Lord, it is the Holy Spirit empowering us to say that. Now, Paul goes on talking about spiritual gifts, and he says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. Now, I want you to put those two statements together. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit who's the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we are serving. Do you know that's a parallel statement? The fact is, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us so that we can serve in the church. You follow me? The gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're different kind of gifts, and there's different kind of service. And the different kinds of service that the church needs are provided by the very different gifts that God gives to each one of us. What I'm saying is that the gifts of the Spirit are given to us for service. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Suppose a person has a gift of understanding and wisdom that he's gotten from the Holy Spirit. Would it be good if that person just ran off and kept that to himself? Or even, say, used it only within his family? A gift like that is to be given back to the church. And we're to use the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us by serving in God's church. Okay, now he's going to list off a bunch of this, of the different gifts of the Spirit. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another, and to someone else, he provides the power to heal the sick. Now, some of this sounds really mysterious, and I want you to know that I have, with my own eyes, witnessed every one of those. I have been in a position where that gift was given to me, and it was actually expressed right there, live, and in front of other people. I want to tell you a story. I was in a prison one time, and I was working with a prisoner, and he had this terrible resentment that he could not overcome. It turns out that it was against a family member who had been the person responsible for him being in prison. This person had literally turned him in, had called the police and said where he was so they could go and pick him up. And I was talking with this guy, and the subject of our discussion was about relieving ourselves of resentments and forgiving the people that have harmed us. And he's telling me this, and I'm not going to go into the graphic details, but there are some, to put it blatantly, he had attempted to murder this person who had put him in prison while he was on, bail before the trial. I mean, we're not talking about a minor resentment here. We're talking about somebody homicidally angry at someone else. And we were sitting there, and I got a word from the Lord. You ever had somebody tell you they had a word from the Lord? That's really scary to hear that, okay? It's even scarier to get. I sat there, and I knew that this man was wrong. How did I know this man was wrong? I had no idea, but I knew in the very bottom of my soul that this man did not understand what had actually happened. And I said to him boldly that he was mistaken and that this person had not turned him in for the reason that he thought. I said, this person turned you in because of fear that you would be killed in a shootout or something, and you would only get into more trouble, and they were actually doing it because they loved you. Where did I get that information? I don't know. There was no physical way possible for me to know that was the fact. But I was so sure that that was the fact that I told him so. Now, after this retreat weekend I was on, I saw this guy a month later. We went back for a reunion, and I'm walking into the gym where we're meeting, and he is clear on the other side of the room, and he sees me entering the door, and he comes running at me, flapping an envelope in his hands. He had written to this person, and it was the only correspondence they'd had in years, and asked them, without any leading questions, why they had done what they'd done. And the words that that person used were exactly word for word what I had told him. I know for a fact God, in certain situations, gives us knowledge that we cannot have in any other way. What had happened is, when I was talking to that guy, I did not know how to deal with his situation. And I said a prayer. I said, Lord, my favorite prayer in prison, Lord, you got me into this. Now, tell me what to say to this man. And the idea that I gave him was formulated completely in my mind. It didn't come sporadic. It was just 100% knowledge of what that situation really was. And so I know that these gifts truly exist. I know the gift of healing exists. I was with people. I have prayed for people to be healed many times and seen physical healing. I'll give you one example. We were on our way to a Curcio, those of you who know what that is. It's a retreat weekend. It's not important if you don't know what it is. We were on our way to the closing service for that, and this woman who was in the car, her husband was a participant in the weekend, and she wanted to be there for the closing service, and she got ill. She got very seriously ill. She was running fever, flu-like conditions, and everything else. And you know, we're saying, I don't know, man, should we even take her over there? She's probably contagious. She's going to, you know, give everybody the flu or whatever. And I did not suggest this because I was at a stage where I wasn't sure I believed in prayers for healing. Another guy that was there said, no, we're going to heal her. And they stopped the car. All three of us put our hands on her, and we prayed that she would be healed. And then we said, now, lay down in the back seat, and you know, we're gonna keep on going. And we got there, and this gal jumps up, completely normal, no fever, no signs of any illness, and you know, completely healed. And I want to confess that she was not healed on my faith, because I didn't have any. But she believed that she would be healed, and the guy that had suggested it, they were really into that kind of thing, and they said, I know that if we pray with her in faith, she will be healed. That illness never came back. I've seen that kind of healing many, many times. I've also seen people pray for people to be healed, and nothing happens. So don't ask me why God heals some of them and doesn't heal the others. That's one of the interesting questions I'll probably not bother to ask him when I see him. Okay, there are other gifts. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. Still another person is given the ability to speak in, and I'll use the common term, speak in tongues. And another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person will have. You know, Nikki talked a lot about people in Holy Trinity Brompton, where he is one of the pastors. They practice speaking in tongues on a regular basis. I know a lot of very good Christians who don't speak in tongues. I know a lot of what I would call charismatic, spirit-filled Christians who don't speak in tongues, and that's fine. If God gives you that gift, accept it. If he doesn't, it is a gift. It can be asked for, but it is not something God is going to put on you without your consent. Now, we're going to go into a section in this letter where it talks about the parts of the body. And what Paul is describing is a human body. But as we're going through this human body, I want you to think of the parts of the body as being the parts of the church, which is us. Each of us is a part of the body of Christ. So as we go through the parts of the body, I want you to think about this being people that he's actually talking about. Verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up only one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit, and we have all received the same Spirit. Yes, the body may have different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, does that not make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? And if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But God made our bodies with many parts, and he has put each part just where he wants it. Now, this may seem like a silly illustration, you know, the ear saying, I don't want to be an ear because I'm not an eye and all that. But don't we see that in the church all the time? I have the gift of hospitality, but I don't want to do hospitality. I want to be an usher. I have the gift of speaking, but I don't want to be a teacher. I want to be working in the kitchen. Okay? There's all these different gifts that God has given us, and they're meant to be used the way He meant for them to be used. If we... It says if the whole body was an eye, what would it be? What if everybody wanted to be the pastor? Wouldn't that be an interesting church? Actually, I've seen churches where you would think that was the case. What if everybody wanted to be the Sunday school teacher? And nobody else wanted to do anything else. Everybody wanted to teach Sunday school. That would be a pretty sad church. What we have to do is figure out what gifts God has given us and work that into being that and using that in God's service. Now, I'm going to skip ahead to 26. There's a lot more there, but on verse 26. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Now, all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Here is a list of some of the members that God has placed in the body of Christ. Now, this is one of those famous lists of gifts. Okay, these are like the occupations that God has given us. Some are apostles, some are prophets, third are teachers, then there are those who do miracles, those who have the gifts of healing, those who can help others, those who can get others to work together. Isn't that a blessing in a church? Those who speak in unknown tongues. He asked the question, is everyone an apostle? Of course not. Is everyone a prophet? No. Are all teachers? Does everyone have the power to do miracles? Does everyone have the gift of healing? Of course not. Does God give all of us the ability to speak in tongues? Can anyone interpret unknown languages? No. In any event, you should desire the most helpful gifts. You get what this is saying? For those of you not in my church, forgive me, but I've said many, many times from the pulpit, what is our purpose? It's to serve God and our fellow man. We do that best by doing what God has called us to do. God is not going to call somebody who can't speak to be a preacher. He's not going to call somebody who can't read or write to be the editor of the newsletter. He's not going to call you to do something He hasn't given you the gift to do. But be careful. Sometimes God equips the called rather than calling the equipped. You get the difference? Sometimes the skills needed for a job, the physical skills, are far less important than the spiritual skill, and that is the desire to want to do what God has called us to do. Now, I'm not going to read it to you, but there's a whole bunch more about spiritual gifts in chapter 14. And I would suggest, if you'd like, some time for leisure reading, just sit down and read all of chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. Because those three chapters are about spiritual gifts. And you'll find a lot of stuff in chapter 14, especially about tongues and how unimportant that is. Churches that put great importance on that are unbiblical at best. I have a friend, by the way, who thinks I'm not going to heaven because she asked me if I spoke in tongues and I wouldn't tell her. You know, I wasn't going to give her the satisfaction of telling her I did because I didn't want her to think I did. So she said, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. And I'm going, My Bible right here says that's the least of all gifts, and Paul says not everybody has it. So this is not an issue. I do want to back up, and I want to tell you something. Does anybody know what is the most frequently read scripture in the world? Except for John 3:16. The most frequently read. That's close. I mean, in church. In church. Go to a wedding, and what Bible verse are they going to read? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the famous chapter on love. Now, listen to what I just said. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. As I recall, 13 fits between 12 and 14. And I've told you already that chapters 12, 13, and 14 are about spiritual gifts. No one reads chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians thinking in terms of spiritual gifts. They read it because it's so wonderful language, and it talks about love, and everybody's happy and they want to get married. But that's not what it's about. That chapter is about spiritual gifts. Listen to this. I'm going to go back to right before chapter 13, the last verse of chapter 12. He's listed all this other stuff. He's talked about the body. And now listen to this. First, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of them. Does that sound like what's coming is another gift of the Holy Spirit? Okay. And guess what he starts talking about? If I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't have love, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. See, when they read this at weddings, they don't even understand what that means. Y'all understand what that means now. He's saying, all those other gifts we've been talking about, they're totally meaningless if you don't have the gift of love. If I had the gift of prophecy, see, went from speaking in tongues now to prophecy. And if I knew all the mysteries of the future and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move without love, I would be no good to anyone. And if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. And then he gets down to the point of what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. And it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. You know, if you think about this, and Paul is talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and he goes through all this list of all the important gifts of the Spirit that there are, and then he inserts this chapter right in the middle of them and says, this is the most important gift of the Spirit. Don't you think that this is the one we should pray for the most? It's interesting, when I do premarital counseling with people, I always separate the couple. And I ask them, the first thing I ask them is, why do they want to get married? And it's always, oh, because I'm in love and I want to spend my life with so-and-so. And I say, well, how do you know you love that person? I get the most interesting answers to that question. But it's almost invariably something like, because he makes me feel good. I light up every time he comes into the room. I love being in his presence. I just enjoy being with him. Inevitably, they give me an answer that reflects on them and their feelings. That's not love. That might be called infatuation, but that ain't love, folks. You know what the right answer to the question is? The right answer to the question is, I know I love her because I want the very best for her, and I'm willing to give of myself to make sure that happens. That's love. Love is not a verb. I mean, love is not a noun. It's a verb. And it is an action verb. Love means we do things for other people. You want your church to flourish? Love people. Watch what happens when the influence of your love goes out into the community and they start wondering where you got it. And they will be attracted to the love that you show for every human being. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to be prayed for the receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand there's nothing magic about that. There won't be any bells and whistles go off as a general rule, although I have seen it where people just flourish. As a rule, most people don't fall down on the ground or speak in tongues or do anything weird. If that happens to you, I promise you we'll catch you and nothing bad will happen. And I want you to know what you're receiving when you receive the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about some mystic thing. We are literally asking for the power of God to come down into us and live in us in a new and special way so that we can now do things, or better yet to say, God can now do things for us that we never could do for ourselves. Freedom from addictions is one thing that happens. Freedom from hatred and anger is something else that happens. The ability to do these things, the ability to love, is the most important of all the things. If you would like to be able to love people more dearly and follow God more closely, I would urge each and every one of you to take the opportunity to be prayed for. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to set up three prayer stations. Tom will be back there, Lynn will be in the middle, and I'll be over in that corner. And if you look up and one of us is free and there's nobody there, you can just come over to us and be prayed for. I would encourage all of you to do that and just go to whoever you're comfortable being with. And what we're going to do is Bob's going to sing a few songs softly and try to just make a little noise, basically, to try to give the people in the back some privacy. If we would all keep our attention to the front, and I would suggest that what you do is during this time, pray for the people who are being prayed for and pray for yourself that the Spirit would come down and touch you in a new and powerful way. Okay? Now I'm going to turn it over to Bob and I'm going to go back there. And anybody that feels free to come up to one of us, we will be there as long as there are people who want to come.